We also have a presenter. Today we have two bills to go through, Senate File 2024 and Senate File 425. And this is the State Department's and Veterans Budget Division, Veterans and Military Affairs Subdivision, and it is 420 on Thursday. Wednesday the 8th. I'm sorry. And Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you want me to do Senate File 425 first? Or?
It's at your pleasure. They're both yours.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. We need to take 2024 first.
We have to listen to the committee administrator, and he says 2024 first.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Today I'm presenting Senate File 2024, as you noted. This bill relates to the expedited license program for military members, their spouses, and recently discharged veterans that we established last year. You may recall that we appropriated money to certain agencies to do rulemaking to set up the program. Unfortunately, the Department of Education and the Board of Teaching were not able to complete the task. And so Senate File 2024 we'll cancel that money as it would expire this year and reappropriate it back to the MDVA. They will then send it back to the Department of Education so they can complete their task. And with me today is Don Kerr. Hi, Don. Department of Military Affairs. And Wei Nguyen from Department of Education help answer any questions committee may have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Saxon. Who wishes to go first? Just state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Wei Nguyen. I'm an assistant commissioner at the Department of Education. And as Senator Saxon did state that the Department of Education Licensing Division did receive $44,000 for an expedited military license process, We have been taking steps. We have assigned a staff specialist to work with military families to explain to them the teaching licensure process. We've updated information on our website. We've worked with the Troops to Teachers organization, which helps to get military personnel and their families kind of into the teaching field. And we've also started a process to get a contract in place for a teacher evaluation transfer system, which will allow us to look at coursework and credentials of other teacher preparation programs throughout the nation. Right now, we actually have to manually go through course books. This would give us access to an online system, which will expedite the process. So we are in process of all these things, but we would like the ability to carry over some of the unspent funds to continue the work. The transfer evaluation system is a yearly subscription, about $6,500 a year. So we would use, we are using $6,500 for this year, and we would like the ability to carry over some of the funds to have the subscription for next year. Along with the work that we're doing with the Troops to Teachers, we do have to fly to Missouri. That is where they are located, to meet with them and train them on Minnesota processes and Minnesota teaching licensure requirements so that they can go out and they can inform their members how to work with the Department of Education on getting teacher licenses. So we thank Senator Saxon for carrying this bill for us.
Thank you. Mr. Kerr?
Mr. Chair, Don Kerr from the Department of Military Affairs, thank you. And I'm really here to answer any questions that the members of the subdivision may have regarding the legislation that passed last year granting this authority, and stand ready for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
Do you understand what this does?
Senator Saxon, would you like to, I believe, I don't know if we need a motion or we're just going to. We're just going to lay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that this bill be sent to State Government and Military Affairs Finance.
It's laid over for possible inclusion.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what we'll do, and we'll lay it over for possible inclusion in Senate File 425.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. So now we will go to the Senate File 425. We have a spreadsheet for the expenditures in 425, and I believe we're going to
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, today I'm presenting Senate File 425. I have the A2 amendment that I'd like to move to get the bill in shape.
Okay, we'll have Senator Gazelka moves the A2 amendment. Any questions on the A2 amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted.
Members, this is the Military and Veterans Affairs Appropriation Bill for this biennium, and I'd like to thank this committee for doing the work you've done this year. With me is Don Kerr from the Department of Military Affairs and Mike Connelly from the Department of Veterans Affairs to help answer any questions. If it pleases the chair, we would start with Mr. Lundeen going through the detailed spreadsheet, which contains the changes from the amendment, and then we can go through the language. Finally, I'd like Mr. Kerr and Mr. McElhenney to describe a couple of provisions that we incorporate from the governor's supplemental budget, and then we can open up for questions. So with that, Mr. Lundeen.
Mr. Lundeen.
Okay, thank you. Taking a look at the spreadsheet, starting with Department of Military Affairs and looking at the maintenance and training facilities, I'll just kind of run through quickly. It's the maintenance-based appropriations for Camp Ripley, Holman, and the armories. The air base maintenance, you see the base, and then the air base maintenance in Duluth. There is one change item. This was a governor's rec. The department has built up a balance in the enlistment incentives, and they have a proposal to move some of that money around, to do a one-time move, and then to do some move around in the base. So the first item is taking $3 million a year and moving into the maintenance budget. And that is the one change in the maintenance and training facilities. And then they also are doing a one-time transfer of money from fiscal year 15, what they're proposing as a balance there, and that's a $10 million appropriation or a $10 million move in the base into the maintenance area. Then moving down to general support, administrative services, there is one addition to the base. This is also part of reallocating some of the enlistment incentive money, and that is a total of $460 a year. And then moving down the spreadsheet, you can see the money moving down to enlistment incentives on page 42, the money moving out of the base there that was moving up to the other two programs above. And so looking at the Department of Military Affairs, there is no change from the base. It's just been reallocating those dollars, and that is the same as the governor's rec. And then turning over to page 2 of the spreadsheet, we get to the Department of Veterans Affairs. And then the first item listed under Veterans Services Administration on line 80 is showing the appropriation for the bill we just discussed of Senator Saxhog's, the rulemaking dollars for the Department of Education. So those are basically just going to be appropriated to Vets Affairs because we don't have the Board of Education under this jurisdiction, and there's language then that just transfers this over to the Department of Education for the Board of Teaching. Moving down the spreadsheet under programs and services, you can see there are the base appropriations there for the various programs, State Soldiers Assistance, the Gold Star Program, the two state cemeteries, the Link Vet for counseling, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Vets, and then the appropriations for the GI Bill, one of which is a transfer to the Office of Higher Education, and the other is for the administrative costs for the agency. And the last is the base appropriation for the Minnesota Service Corps. And then moving down to the claims and outreach, there you see there's one change item. This is the operating adjustment of the 1.8%. And then moving down, those are the only two changes that are going on in the Veterans and Program Services. Then we move down to the Veterans Health Care and dealing with the Veterans Homes. There are a couple of changes there. The governor recommended the 5% operating adjustment. That has been included in this bill, and then there has been $500,000 a year for repair and betterment related to the homes. The other item that's included here is the cost of care personal needs allowance, Senate File 131. This was the bill of Senator Stevens that we heard in the subdivision a few weeks back. And so the total changes then over the base are slightly over $7.3 million to the Veterans Homes budget. And then turning to the next page, and I think just looking down at the bottom, you can see we're accounting for the cancellation that takes off the appropriation. So basically the appropriation we did for $44,000 for the Department of Education is basically budget neutral against the target. And so the total spending in this bill is the net spending is $176,749. And basically that's the spreadsheet, unless there's any questions.
that a typo on line?
I think it's 1.8. Yes, it should be 1.8. I think it was a rounding. I guess when I typed it into the spreadsheet, it had somehow cut off the 0.8, but it should be 1.8. The dollar amounts are correct, yes.
Senator Anderson, question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kerr or Senator Saxon, your enlistment set incentives that you're moving the money around there, what specifically within that category are being affected?
Mr. Chair, Senator Anderson, if you'll recall, I did brief the committee on this on 23 February. We actually have a lower utilization in the enlistment incentives appropriation. So the thing we pay for out of enlistment incentives are exactly that, enlistment bonuses and also the state tuition reimbursement program. And the state tuition reimbursement program utilization has been down somewhat over the last few years. We aren't exactly sure why. We're looking carefully at that. But because that utilization has been down, it has resulted in an excess in that particular appropriation, and that is carry-forward money established in statute. So it doesn't cancel at the end of the fiscal year, and that's allowed us to accrue a bit of a balance that we think is appropriate to move to the maintenance appropriation.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Kerr, is it safe to say that we are having less enlistments in the Army and Air National Guard?
Mr. Chair, Kerr. Senator Anderson, it's safe to say that because we are currently constrained on our end strength at the national level in both the Army and the Air National Guard to maintain the force caps that the Congress has set. So we are precluded from enlisting everyone that wants to enlist in the National Guard right now. And we are meeting our objectives, though. So we really aren't having any trouble recruiting. The incentive package that we have, we think, is about right to meet the needs of the readiness of the National Guard. We just are a little bit throttled back right now on the federal side and also are, for whatever reason, not seeing as much interest in the use of that tuition reimbursement program. We think there may be an economic element to that, the economy is a little bit better, so some of our soldiers are choosing to work instead of go to school. But we really can't say definitively what the factors are that affect that.
Sure. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, not related to the bill is a good bill. I'm curious to find out, are we still doing a stipend for the grave markers, you know?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, that would be in the veterans side, I think.
Yeah.
Stipend on the what? I'm sorry.
Grave markers.
The grave markers. We were doing that, then it was taken away, and I think I was one of the ones that put it back in. It wasn't a lot of money. I know that's not part of this bill, Senator Saxog, but it's just would like to know for my edification that that's still going on. If you don't know, let's find out. Let me know, because it wasn't a big number, Mr. Chairman, but I thought it was a small price to pay when one of our veterans deceased. So thank you. I know it's not this bill, but I just thought that I'm thinking of. So.
Fiscal can respond on that.
I believe that is on line 85, the Gold Star program would be providing that, and that's in at $100,000 a year, the base.
Well, yeah, okay, yes. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't get through the whole thing, but yes, thank you. Yes, it's in there. So.
Any other questions?
I really like the bill.
So if there's no further questions, Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt the spreadsheet.
Someone else.
We'll have Senator Metzen will move to make the motion. We need to have somebody on the committee.
I don't think you're on the committee.
That'd be even better.
Yes.
I'll also move, yes. Mr. Chairman, Senate file 2024.
We're moving the spreadsheet.
Or the spreadsheet, okay.
We're moving the spreadsheet. And the spreadsheet will be moved, just adopted by the subdivision. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted. Now we will go to Senate File 425.
Stephanie goes.
And it's James. Stephanie is, our counsel will describe the amendment. Yes, we have an amendment. Two amendments. Yep.
Mr. Chair and members, what we're looking at now is the A2 amendment, the delete all. We've talked about the appropriations, so I'll walk you through the language. I wanted to point out that on the summary we have a typo on the heading. It says that it is drawn to the bill as proposed to be amended by the A1, but it's really drawn to the bill as proposed to be amended by the A2, so it matches up with the amendment that you have in front of you. The language begins on page 4, line 33, with section 5. And this section is from the governor's rec, which is Senate file 888. This provision expands the use of the Support Our Troops account. It allows grants to go through to be made to nonprofits and foundations that serve veterans. Section 6 is a change. Under current law, the Adjutant General for Military Affairs has to report on the use of the Support Our Troops grants. And this change makes that same reporting requirement on the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. The Support Our Troops account goes to both Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs, and right now only Military Affairs has to report about the uses, so this is just makes that parallel. Then Section 7 is from the Governor's supplemental recommendations, and we haven't heard any testimony about that, but I understand we're going to hear about that today. So I can describe it, but they can provide more detail. This expands the application of a death gratuity to all service members. Right now, the death gratuity is only paid in cases of hardship, and it's paid to families or estates of veterans who are disabled or are killed or die of disease or injuries during service. Section 8 is also a provision from the governor's supplemental recommendations, and you'll hear testimony about that today. But in brief, this permits the Adjutant General to establish a grant program to provide incentives to for certain kinds of training. Section 9 is from Senator Saxhog's bill, Senate File 427, and also the repealer in Section 12 is part of that, too. Big Island Veterans Camp is no longer being used, and its assets are being sold and distributed, disposed of. That's all in current law, and that's all been going on. And there's a trusteeship that oversees that process. This provision makes it possible for the trusteeship, the trustees as a group, to remove a trustee from the trusteeship by majority vote, and it also provides for how vacancies would be filled. The next section is Section 10, and this is from Senator Sieben's bill, Senate File 131, and this establishes a method for calculating a maintenance charge and sets a personal needs allowance. This is for veterans who are housed in a domiciliary. Section 11 is also part of that, and this provides for how residents in domiciliaries have trouble with that word, domiciliaries, are charged, or how they pay when they get into arrears, how that's handled. And then the last section, again, as I mentioned, is a repealer that goes with Senator Saxhug's bill, Senate File 427, dealing with the trusteeship.
Any questions for counsel?
Chair, but I just...
Senator Mattson.
For me, I think this is enough explanation. I mean, there's only $100,000 in new money here that we haven't seen. The 44 is turning over, and the other language is good stuff. And I've been briefed on this, and I know the governor is very supportive of this language. So unless other members want to go further, I don't care. It's Wednesday night, and it's late.
I think probably.
Unless you want to hear briefly from
me. I think we'll, yeah, we okay. Should hear briefly from our testifiers. So, whichever would like to go first, please identify yourself and proceed with
a
brief
Chair,
testimony.
And members, I'm Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. So really, there are two change items that are listed in there that have to do with changing the lines of authority for the adjutant general with authority already has. The first is the death gratuity, and I believe that was in Section 4. I don't have a copy of the amendment with me, but I do have the language, and I'm ready to speak to it. So the death gratuity authority was actually granted to the adjutant general in the initial statutes that established the adjutant general's office in 1921. And that death gratuity funding was affiliated to the maintenance account of the adjutant general because at that time there were only two accounts. Our concern was as we see, we typically try to mirror what the active component does, and the death gratuity for active duty soldiers who were killed in action was increased in 2005 from $12,400 to $100,000 per individual. And our concern is if we were to have a catastrophic event on state active duty, particularly if we had one this time of year at the end of a biennium where our maintenance appropriation is pretty well dried up, it would be very difficult for us to come up with $1 million to pay for 10 casualties in the unlikely event that a Black Hawk went down or something similar to what happened off the coast of Louisiana last month. And our concern was that it didn't make sense that money should be coming out of the maintenance appropriation. Instead, we believe that money should be coming out of the emergency appropriation that's supporting the state active duty event that the service members are supporting. And so really all this is doing is changing the authority from the maintenance appropriation to come out of the emergency services account and fixing the amount of the death gratuity instead of an amount established by the adjutant general to mirror the amount that's been approved by the Congress for federal active duty. And this came to our attention because some of our service members were concerned about going on state active duty, particularly our aviators, because they were concerned that if they were killed, if they were flying at the same time that a federal pilot was in the other seat on a state active duty mission, the federal pilot who died would receive $100,000 death gratuity and the state pilot would not receive anything unless the adjutant general so determined. So we think this really levels that playing field, takes away that concern, and really has no fiscal impact, although it does change the fiscal authority, and that's why it's in this part of the request. The second change has to do with adding the authority inside that incentives appropriation of which I spoke earlier that we're underutilizing. Currently, the adjutant general has the authority to grant enlistment bonuses and reenlistment bonuses, but not reclassification bonuses, and that's specifically what we're asking for. The reason we're asking for that is as we see the force structure of the National Guard changing, we're acquiring a lot of new military occupational specialties that are very technical in nature, particularly in the cyber realm. And it is very difficult for us to get enough soldiers and airmen who have the requisite qualification to become that initially trained soldier. We also have more higher grade positions than we have lower grade positions, and so it's very difficult for us to keep the positions filled, because as soon as we fill one and qualify them for promotion, we promote them into another position. This reclassification bonus will allow us to incentivize service members in other specialties to go to the necessary training to become qualified in that specialty at a higher grade, so that we can fill those higher grade positions with people with leadership experience. And right now we don't have the authority to do that. So this, again, doesn't add anything to the appropriation. It just gives the Adjutant General authority to use that funding in a way that has previously not been authorized. And we think it's very important to maintain the readiness of our emerging National Guard for the missions that we see on the horizon as being the most important.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Mr. McElney, would you like to make some comments?
Chair.
Please identify yourself.
My name is Mike McElney, Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And in short, I would say that Senate Council did a pretty good job summarizing these bills. But just to recap, the Support Our Troops provision under Section 4 is precisely what you said. We're asking to receive grant-making authority. We have what's called the SOT account, and we'd like to be able to create grants for good organizations. There's a lot of good pilots that are started in Minnesota. I just received a call from our sister agency in Michigan yesterday talking about how well our website is and how they were seeking to kind of copy our Minnesota GI Bill in that state. So a lot of good things start here in Minnesota, and we believe this is a way to continue that process. Moving on to
Mr. McElney, just to make sure that if anyone's following along, that was Section 5 in the A2 amendment.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You're right. Starting on line 433, Mr. Chair. Moving to the next section, that's relative to veterans would be Section 9, starting on line 6.26. That's really a Veterans for Veterans organization, and again, as stated, there's antiquated language in the statute that's just simply being removed that talks about the Board of Governors, and this will allow the organization to just manage a little bit better. Sometimes, as I understand, they have difficulty gaining a quorum to make decisions, so this is just one mechanism that will help sort that issue out. The cost of care provision starting in Section 10, again, is kind of something we've been trying to do in the agency for quite some time. It's just not been a very affordable endeavor, but what this will do is it will allow the veterans and the domiciliaries to increase the funding that they get to keep for gasoline for various services. So that's what that Section 10 provision does. Subject to any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kerr, you said that the reclassification bonus program was necessary because of these new high-tech and new positions coming in. Why are we saying the Adjutant General may establish? Why don't we say must establish? Because you're wanting to see this happen. You're wanting to make this take place. So let's change the may to a must.
Mr. Chair, sure. Senator Anderson, we would not be opposed to that. We were mirroring the language that's in the other pieces of statute that are in that section of law. But we would certainly not.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that on line 6.6 that we change the may to a must establish a program.
All right.
I guess the conference committee can take it out if they want to.
Senator Anderson moves the substitution of must for the word may on line 6.6 of the A2 amendment. Any discussion? Does our bill sponsor agree with that?
Mr. Chair, I, on advice of Mr. Kerr and Senator Anderson, I'm fine with it.
Senator Stumpf.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I ask direct this to the Senate Council. Do we generally say must or shall?
Mr. Chair and members, I can't answer whether in other nearby similar parallel sections of statute we say must or may. If you want to require them to establish the program, we should say must, and if you want to give them permission to do so, then may is the right word.
Okay. I see on 6.19 must is used.
6 point.
Senator Stumpf?
Which line are you speaking
of? Mr. Chairman, I think in other parts of that same subdivision, must is used several times. So it seems like must is the word that we probably should go with.
You're reading every line. I'm very proud of you.
Some of it is, if they establish the program, then they must do these things. Some of them are structured that way.
Council is saying that if they establish the program, then we give them a must follow-up.
Mr. Chair, also on
Senator Anderson.
On 6.18, it says the adjutant general may. Maybe we need to have that flexibility there. I'm not sure if that should be a may or a must.
Yes, we shall.
Shall.
Yeah. We have a 6.1 is a shall. 6.18 is a may.
But you take a half a loaf of bread and move on.
6.6, we do not want to move on.
So, do you have a further amendment?
Leave it at 6.6 and leave it at must. Change it from may to must there.
Okay. That is still the amendment that you've offered as must. Any other discussion? All in favor of the amendment? Say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion is adopted. It says the adjutant general must establish a program. Any other questions? Any other comments? Any other testimony? Anyone would like to testify in addition to this?
You want to move the bill?
Sure.
Senator Stumpf moves.
Yes.
Senator Stumpf moves that Senate File 425, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the State Department's and Veterans Finance Division, and that staff be allowed to make any technical changes that they may find. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
Oh,
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
With that, that is all the business we had for today. So the meeting is adjourned.
Good work.